jana valo pa kiri badata hari jaya gopi jana valo pa kiri badata hari jana valabha kiri badhari yasoda nandana braja jana ranjana yasoda nandana braja jana ranjana Yamuna Tira Vana Chari Yamuna Tira Vana Chari Chayaratha Madhuva Kunja Bihari Kunjabi Hari Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Bharathari Gopi Jana Vallabha Kiri Badhari Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vana Chari Yamuna Tira Vana Chari Jayaratha Madhava Kunja Bihari Kunjabihari Madhava Kunjabihari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna.
Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Vedic from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 15, Description of Mystic Yoga Perfections, Text Number 2. Sri Uddhava Uvacha
Koya Dharanaya Kasvit
Katamba Siddhirachyuta
Kativa
Siddhayo
Bruhi
Yoginam Siddhido
Bhavan.
Sri Uddhava
Vacha
Kayardharanayar Karsvit
Katamba
Siddhirajyuta
Kativa
Siddhayo Bruhi
Yoginam
Siddhido
Bhavan.
Sri Uddhava Uvacha
Kaya
Dharanayar
Kasvit
Katamba Siddhirachyuta
Kativa
Siddhayo
Bruhi
Yoginam Siddhido
Bhavan.
Sri Uddhava Vacha. Sri Uddhava said,
Kaya,
by what?
Dharanaya,
process of meditation. Kasvit. Which indeed. Katam. In what manner? Va. Or. Siddhi. Mystic perfection. Achyuta. My dear Lord. Kati. How many? Va. Or. Siddhayaha. Perfections. Bruhi. Please speak. Yoginam. Of all yogis. Siddhita. The giver of mystic perfections. Bhavan. You. Sri Uddhava said, my dear Lord Achyuta, by what process can mystic perfections be achieved? And what is the nature of such perfection? How many mystic perfections are there? Please explain these things to me. Indeed, you are the bestower of all mystic perfections. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Siddhayo Stadasa Prokta Tarana Yoga Paragai Tasam Ashto Pradhana Dasaiva Gunahetava. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, the masters of the yoga system have declared that there are 18 types of mystic perfection and meditation, of which 8 are primary, having their shelter in me, and 10 are secondary, appearing from the material mode of goodness. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains the word mat pradhanaha as follows. Lord Krishna is naturally the shelter of the 8 primary mystic potencies and meditations because such perfections emanate from the Lord's personal potency, and thus they are fully developed only within the Lord himself and the Lord's personal associates. When materialistic persons mechanically acquire such potencies, the perfections awarded are of an inferior degree and are considered to be manifestations of maya, illusion. A pure devotee of the Lord automatically receives from the Lord wonderful potencies to execute his devotional service. If for sense gratification one mechanically endeavours to acquire mystic perfections, then these perfections are certainly considered to be inferior expansions of the Lord's external potency. Om Agyana Dimirandasya Yananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmaye Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kada Mahiyam Dadati Svapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pankum Dangayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam. So what is perfection? What is Siddhi? And who is a Siddha? Uddhava is inquiring from Krishna. Kaya dharanaya ka svit katamva siddhi rachuta. By what meditation is perfection achieved? And what types of perfection are there? How many types of perfection exist? And of course, whatever is acknowledging Krishna as Siddhartha, the one who gives perfection, Yoginam Siddhido Bhavan. Please enlighten me on this subject matter, because you are the Siddhada, you're the one who gives perfection. Krishna is also described as Yogeshwara, the master of all yogis, the master of all mystics, if you like. So what is perfection? It appears that people can be misled when it comes to understanding what perfection actually is. You know, in modern society, perfection is to have a long weekend where you don't have to go to work. Right? So, you know, there are some misunderstandings as to what is perfection. And I remember when I was a teenager, and I was attracted to, you know, yoga, the principles of yoga and yoga practice, and you know, sometimes people think that performance of miracles is a type of perfection. You know, walking on water, floating in, levitating, you know, being able to control the material elements, being able to cure the sick, right? Let the blind see. This is a type of perfection. Be powerful, you know, be in control. This is also considered to be a type of perfection. So, you know, there are various conceptions of what perfection actually is, or what a siddhi actually is, and what it's for. You know, most people really don't understand what perfection is, even what yoga practice is, and how the yoga practice is actually able to bestow these various potencies or benedictions, if you like, this siddha or siddhis on a person. You know, there are even people selling mantras. You know, if you paid $40 and you're given a mantra, and even as part of the different packages accompanying these mantras, you can. There was one group of yoga practitioners who were being taught how to levitate. Right? So they could actually they would just bump around the room, actually, bang bang. And in this chapter, Krishna explains all of the different types of perfections to become so small that one can enter into any place. They can go into any place. And you know, you see this. There are yogis. There are stories of yogis in India who would be incarcerated. They'd be put in a jail, and they'd be left there overnight, but in the morning they'd be out, and there'd be no visible sign of there. And even Prabhupada tells the story of one yogi who would ask people, you know, what do you want? And they'd say, oh, we'd like to have some pomegranates from Kashmir. And he'd say, go into the next room, and they'd find there would be a branch of a pomegranate tree with fresh pomegranates on it, which is another city, being able to reach out. So these are all described here. They're all described. These are the results of the performance of the yoga system. and various meditations on different aspects of the Lord's form give these various types of siddhis or perfections. It's interesting, in the purport here, it mentions that those siddhis that are acquired simply by the performance of the Ashtanga Yoga practice are considered to be products of the external energy or products of Maya. Of course, we know what Maya means. Maya means that which is not. And really what that means is that which doesn't have any duration, that which doesn't have any permanence. And of course that really relates to every facility or every feature that exists in the material world. You know, the mystic siddhi or perfections are accumulated or acquired with this body. But regardless of how long you have this body for, and how long you may acquire these siddhis, every facility that's provided in the material world is limited and temporary. Nasato vijate bhava no bhava vijate sataha. That's nasat. It is not permanent. So it's interesting at the end of this chapter when Krishna explains all of these things, and basically he says actually they're all pretty much useless. Right? Although considered valuable or attractive for materialistic persons, you know, to be able to have these siddhis gives a person power, gives them control. And you know, power and control in material existence means basically an opportunity to manipulate things for one's sense gratification. That's basically what it all boils down to. You put it in a melting pot, boil it all down, it means I can manipulate the material energy for my personal sense gratification. But ultimately, those situations, those circumstances, they're a product of Maya, illusion. Because they manifest for a short period of time and then they disappear. And that's the nature of material existence. It's coming and going. It's always in a state of flux, ebb and flow. Out of the body of Mahavishnu, he's lying down in the Karana Jal, and then from his meditation, from his dreaming, from his breathing, all of the universe has come out, manifest for some time, but then back in again, finished. And so, you know, any so-called siddhi or perfection that we might achieve on a material platform, albeit very elevated, one has to be, in order to achieve these perfections, in order to perform this meditation, because it's mentioned here, kaya dharanaya kasvit. Right? Dharana means meditation. So what it was saying, what type of meditation does one have to perform? So in order to perfect these meditations, one actually has to be meditating on the Lord. And so in one sense it's a form of devotional service. Right? It's a form of devotional service. But it's a form of devotional service focused on getting a material benefit. But in order to achieve this perfection, if you like, one still has to be in an extraordinarily elevated and disciplined yogi. Yet, despite the efforts and endeavours of such persons, still, and they achieve these perfections. You know, there's the perfections described here, like one can enter into the body of others. and then come out again, like a ghost. Right? So, I mean, I can't imagine what you would do that for, but it's one of the cities that's described here. The ability to control the mind of others. That'd be handy. Handy for a temple president. Would be good to control the minds of others. Handy in any circumstance, actually. And you get people to do what you want them to do. That's the idea. So there's this idea of control. But what for? What's the benefit? Especially when you may have this power or this potency. But what is the benefit if it is only limited and temporary? And it's mentioned here, these cities are automatically present in the devotees, those eternal associates of the Lord, who are situated in their Siddha Deha, you know, their original perfect form, if you like, their Siddha Swarupa. They automatically have these siddhis in any case. I was just thinking of some examples. I couldn't think of very many, but I was thinking of one example is Prahlad Maharaj, who was just a little boy. But despite what his father did to him, he couldn't destroy him. So he automatically manifests these siddhas or perfections by being able to withstand the onslaught of his father's wrath in him wanting to try and kill him, for example. He didn't have to perform great austerities to get these siddhis. He just automatically had them. Siddhis may not be manifest. They may not be manifest in the devotee doesn't show these qualities or characteristics, but they automatically acquire them just by dint of their devotional service. And if they're required for their service, they'll utilize them. If they're not, they don't. They're not a goal in and of themselves, but rather they're a byproduct, if you like, a natural byproduct of the practice of devotional service. So, you know, Krishna says, Yogi nam api sarvesham madgatena antaratmana bhajata bhajate sradavan yomam same yuktatamo mataha. Krishna mentions, you know, of all of the yogis, he's the best yogi. He's not the one who can, you know, acquire all of these siddhis, or one who works hard to perform this yoga practice to acquire these siddhis, but rather the best yogi is one who's always thinking of me and who is always engaged in devotional service. Krishna says he's the best yogi, and he automatically has these siddhis without any extra endeavor. He doesn't have to work hard to acquire these siddhis. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it describes how there's different types of bhakti. There's ordinary bhakti, which we would call sadhana bhakti. And then there's shuddha bhakti, which means pure devotional service. And then there's vidha bhakti, or even I think dravya bhakti. Bhakti which is contaminated or mixed with material motivations. So devotional service is then performed for some material benefit. In any case, all of them are actually beneficial for the practitioner. But of the different types of bhakti, of course, the best is shuddha bhakti, But even ordinary bhakti, just bhakti that is performed out of duty, out of obligation, out of a sense of service to the spiritual master, that gradually will mature and become purified and manifest itself as shuddha bhakti, if performed sincerely and with focus and determination. But that mixed devotional service gives mixed results, because the performance of that bhakti is with a focus not on pleasing Krishna, or in the case of, say, ordinary bhakti, fixed on the process of pleasing the spiritual master, which ultimately means pleasing Krishna. It gives, because it's focused on material benefits, then it gives mixed results. And those results are considered inferior because, as is mentioned here in the purport, they are limited and temporary. Material benefits are of no permanent benefit to the devotee. And the pure devotee, the Shuddha Bhakta, and even the ordinary devotee who's aspiring for pure devotional service, they can understand the importance, or the lack of importance, in pursuing these material benefits. They understand that there's no point in endeavouring for something which is limited and of no permanent benefit for me. Let me put aside my attraction for those things, if they are attracted to those things. Let me focus on my devotional service with an eye for purification, or if one's a Shuddha Bhakta, let me just engage in devotional service. Because he's happy and satisfied in his natural position, in his natural relationship serving Krishna. So even though Krishna goes to great lengths to explain the processes and the practice by which one can achieve these siddhis or perfections, and he explains each one of those perfections, at the end he says, don't worry about any of these things. Actually, they're quite a bit of a disturbance. And for a pure devotee, they're actually automatically available. So why work hard for something which is ultimately a disturbance and can easily distract one from the real performance of yoga practice? The real performance of yoga practice is to reconnect with Krishna. And one can easily be distracted, just as one can easily be distracted by the acquisition of material benefits, position, fame, power, wealth, these things. So similarly also, the siddhis, or the mystic yoga siddhis, are a more subtle, if you like, form of power and posture. Either demigods have these powers, they're automatically endowed with these powers. An example of devotees who actually have these siddhis, those demigods. You know, they can appear, they can disappear, they control the material elements, they can be present within everything, know everything, manipulate even. So the demigods are devotees who have these potencies. But one shouldn't be distracted by these potencies, because the real siddha or perfection is to achieve one's eternal form, not some limited and temporary form. And that spiritual form, if you like, is only achieved through the practice of pure devotional service. We may not be on the level of pure devotional service, but we come to that stage by the performance of what is called ordinary. It may be called ordinary, but actually it is quite powerful. It is potent devotional service. In other words, devotional service under the regulative principles. It is not spontaneous. Spontaneous devotional service is that where one is automatically attracted to serving Krishna. That's considered to be the highest level of devotional service. That spontaneity is found in the residents of Vrindavan, who, by all analysis, don't perform what we would call regulated. You know, our devotional service is pretty much regulated. There are things to do and things not to do, which is similar to the yoga system. But the goal of that practice is to eventually come to the point of spontaneous service. And Prabhupada explains how, by becoming purified following the process of devotional service, he gives the example in the Nectar of Devotion that one may not be enthusiastic to wake early in the morning initially, but one does so under the order of the spiritual master. But when one gets a taste for worshipping the deity, for chanting Hare Krishna, then one enthusiastically, spontaneously rises to render service to the Lord, because he has an attraction for the Lord and he's happy to do it. So Prabhupada gives this as an example of spontaneous devotional service. So these things are more attractive. Service to Krishna is more attractive to the devotees than acquiring some material benefits and acquiring some cities. So, because even though the cities, you know, make a person attractive and powerful, the devotee understands that that power and potency, ultimately it's given by Krishna. And if it's manifest in the material realm, actually it's limited, it's temporary, it's of no enduring value. And so the devotee performs their devotional service, or is encouraged to perform their devotional service, not with a goal for acquiring material gains, but rather to re-establish their relationship with Krishna, which is the real, you know, that's the real perfection. The real siddha is to regain one's original constitutional position as a servant of Krishna. Krishna Nitya Das, that's our original position. So that's the real perfection. To regain our original spiritual position as a servant of the Lord. That's real perfection. And then automatically, as a result of that, if one requires cities, Krishna will give them to you. And if we don't require them and don't need them, then they're not desirable, not even attractive for a devotee. You know. Yeah. If for sense gratification one mechanically endeavours to acquire mystic perfections, then these perfections are certainly considered to be inferior to expansions of the Lord's external potency. And people are bewildered by these things. You know, they think, whoa, yes, that's it, that's perfection. Be able to walk on water, to control people, whatever. To be a yogi. But actually, a devotee is not interested in these things. They may appear interesting, but actually they're bewildering. Does anyone have any comments or questions on any of these points? Yes.
And the other thing was Karamamuni.
Yeah.
Karamamuni got these powers.
Yes, Karamamuni had some powers. Yes. Yep. Yep. He's an
angel. He could make nine.
Yep. He could expand himself. That's not mentioned here, actually, as one of the cities, as far as I can see. But anyway, it was a city, a perfection, a yogic city. But I don't think it's mentioned in this list, actually. But you're right. Yes. Yes.
And the purport is also mentioned. These cities can manifest to a lesser degree.
They can manifest
to a lesser degree.
Yes.
By the mechanical management.
Yes.
So, and that is considered a product of Maya.
Yeah.
So, how actually this mechanism, all three are actually material. So, why we consider, why it said that only the last one, which is manifestation of these cities to a lesser degree by material mechanical management, that is a product of Maya, whereas others, something else has.
They're superior?
Yeah, they're superior, of course.
They're considered superior, as it explains here, because they are ultimately manifestations of Krishna's original spiritual perfection or spiritual potencies, if you like. They come about, or they manifest as a result of his not as a result, they're an expansion of the original spiritual potency. That's how I read it. Whereas the others are manifestations of the material energy, if you like. So we can understand that there is a hierarchy, if you like, of perfections, of cities. And some are considered superior because they're more accurately or more completely demonstrate spiritual shakti or spiritual potencies, potencies that exist in the spiritual realm. Whereas others are manifestations or manipulations, basically, of the material energy. That's how I understand it. Just a level of analysing the different cities and considering some superior and some less superior, some higher and some lower. And I can't remember where I read it, but that's how I understood it. That's that. Basically, that's what it says here. See, because the point is that the devotees living in Vaikuntha and living in Goloka, and they automatically have these cities. They automatically have these perfections. So they are manifest in the form of the Lord and in the form of the devotees. Eternally so. Right? But when they're manifest in the material realm, you only have them for the time that you have this body. And then when this body is gone, then you're finished. And your body is finished, and those perfections are also gone. And then you take birth again in another location. And one of the mystic cities is being able to leave your body at will and then choose your next destination. Right? So, yes, Bhishma had that. Yeah. So, manifest in the material realm, not connected to devotional service. Those cities are actually limited and temporary. But when a devotee or just in their natural, you know, in their siddha deha, the devotees automatically have these potencies. They just automatically get them. They don't necessarily demonstrate them or manifest them, but they've got them. Everybody in the spiritual realm has these siddhis. Everybody's got them. It's just natural. Krishna has them. Right? They're just automatic. They're automatic. They're a given. That's part of your spiritual form, is that you have siddha, perfection. Right? But, you know, you don't necessarily manifest it. It's not necessary. If it's not necessary for Krishna's pleasure, then you don't do it. Right? Just want to, you know, you just have it. But you don't use it. Not necessary. It could spoil some fun. So you see with the cowherd boys, you know, their perfection is to live in a very simple environment and play with Krishna, and, you know, if they were manifesting their yoga siddhis all the time, it would just get in the way of having fun. Same with Krishna. You know, Krishna knows everything. But if he was to always, you know, manifest that sarvajna feature, then nobody could play any tricks on him. Mm-hmm. Right? So, you know, these mystic cities actually are not, they can actually get in the way of having a good time with Krishna. You know, when Krishna's lying down and his friends say, you know, close your eyes, open up your mouth, and we're going to give you a lovely juicy rasgulla. Right? But instead of putting a rasgulla, they put a dandelion in his mouth. Right? So if Krishna knows everything, he says, hang on a second, I'm not going to close my eyes because I know that you're not going to give me a rasgulla. That would spoil the fun. There would be no fun. What was that last bit? Yeah. Why doesn't he use them? Somebody who manifest these mystic perfections, you know, would be a great threat to others. And so, you know, they would deal with him summarily, you know, quite swiftly. If you were walking around, you know, showing all of these potencies. But, you know, what's a far more powerful and more impressive potency is the ability to change, you know, the Kali Yuga mind and mentality and turn them into devotees. That's a siddhi in and of itself. And not everybody's given that potency, right? Not everybody's had the potency that Prabhupada had. You know, as soon as you started to manifest all these different cities, then they want to stick you in a laboratory and poke needles into you and try and find out what it was that made you different. But even then, that doesn't necessarily mean, just like we see sometimes in history different sadhus or saintly persons manifest obvious spiritual characteristics and potencies, yet all they do is attract materialistic people who want to exploit it, you know, take advantage of it. Oh, you know, you, You can see into the future. Can you tell me who's going to win the Melbourne Cup next year? Right? Right? You know, can you tell me who's going to win the fifth race on Saturday at Caulfield? So, a person with these mystic cities, all they'll attract is materialistic people who want to manipulate their potencies for their personal benefit. Right? And you can see that even with in the lives of saintly persons who have manifest certain different potencies, they just attract materialistic people, and it's not necessarily an advantage. Whereas Srila Prabhupada had he was in one sense unassuming. You know, I used to think of Prabhupada as a really giant-sized person, you know, but when we installed Prabhupada's Murti here in 1979, and I saw Prabhupada, and I thought, gee, he's only a short person. He's only little. So, you know, externally, Prabhupada looked little, but, his spiritual potency was immense. And his ability to actually change the lives of people, turn them into devotees, that's a siddhi, that's a perfection. To be able to do that is, you know, to create perfection when out of a place where there's none, practically speaking, is far more impressive when you think about it. That's why Prabhupada said, you know, people would ask Prabhupada, you know, can you do this or you can do that? And Prabhupada said, my miracle is, you know, that I've been able to make these people into devotees. So, you know, there's a mystic city. Prabhupada was able to manage a society of devotees wherein, you know, most of them were under 30. You know, so, you know, as Bhujan Prabhu has mentioned on more than one occasion, you know, there was only one adult in ISKCON in those days. And that was Prabhupada. Yet Prabhupada somehow or other empowered all of these people to establish a worldwide, you know, society of devotees that endured. That's a city. To be able to do that, that's perfection, if you like. To create a society of devotees and create an environment where everybody can become perfect in that sense. Right? And, you know, whatever mystic potencies or mystic cities are required to perform that devotional service, then Lord Chaitanya and Krishna gives us those potencies as required. You know, Prabhupada was asked once, why didn't you come as a young man? And Prabhupada made a comment, if I came as a young man, I would have been seen as a threat, and they wouldn't have let me do what I'm doing. So, some thoughts on why Prabhupada didn't come as a big magician. Why didn't you come as a big magician? Kantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhakta Binda ki jai.